other side of the page here. Talking about the ministry, what's our ministry, and how the Holy Spirit gifts are used in the ministry in a practical way. The gifts we specifically have been looking closer at are what we'd call the functional gift. They're found in Romans 12. Let's go ahead and go there, and we'll just get started there. Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8. Let's read those together, shall we? Let's read those together, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We've been looking at these various gifts, and you can see there in the last few weeks. And the one we started last week, the gift of ruling, I think actually a couple weeks ago we started it, looked at how that word, ruleth, is a spirit-enabled to lead and direct in the church. That is God's plan and His work, and the Holy Spirit helps one or more to help in the church in that way. We look at leadership in Scripture, how Moses brought forth the children of Israel. His father-in-law Jethro gave some guidelines on choosing other leaders to help. They need to fear God. They need to be full of truth. They need to hate covetousness. And Jesus Christ is our ultimate leader and ultimate goal. Pastor and shepherd and all those that lead us. Pastoral work is mentioned in the New Testament. We looked in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll look at some others tonight. And that ruleth is a gift of the Spirit, and it means this, to stand before and direct. That's what verse 8 tells us. It says, he that ruleth with diligence, to stand before and direct. We looked at God's leadership in the home and discovered that God has placed a father, husband, to stand and direct in his home, to rule there in a sense of leading. That means the wife voluntarily submits, the husband loves his own wife, children obey all instructions from parents, those that are in the home, and that the fathers lead their children without discouraging them. That is the goal in the home. That's a pretty simple plan. It takes a little bit more than just saying it, but it is God's plan for the home. And all members are to submit to, heartily serve, and fear the Lord. Let's look at this one actually, Colossians chapter 3. Let's go there, Colossians chapter 3, and just look at that. That's where we stopped. Verse 21 to verse 25 says this, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the Lord, receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, though it does have a section there with the servants, it's all talking about the home. Where are the servants specifically in the New Testament? Typically in the home. They're helping a family and so forth for whatever reason. So the goal is, verse 23, to heartily serve the Lord as unto the Lord and not unto men. That is the goal in the home. Now we want to continue on and look at God's leadership in the church. Let's start in 1 Timothy 3 and then Acts chapter 6. Two leaders, if you will, are mentioned but they have different responsibilities that God has assigned them. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7, and then Acts chapter 6. All right, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and let's, I'll read this, and then when we get to Acts, we'll do responsive there. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless and the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." So who is the one talked about there in 1 Timothy 3 as a leader in the church, in the house of God? The bishop or the pastor. Yeah. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 6. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. And as we go along here, not necessarily tonight, but we will look at this person is also mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 later on, Acts chapter 6. Let's take a look where it started, verse number 1. Verse number 1. And let's do read, please, responsively. I'll read verse 1 if you'd read verse 2 back and forth. Verse 7, that's where we'll stop in Acts chapter 6. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
"And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch,
who they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them.
And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So this group of men mentioned that were appointed by the apostles here, what would that group be in the church today? If they still exist, who are they? Deacons. But there are some who would say, that's not the office. And I respect them for that. I think that this particular ministry, either, though it wasn't necessarily named at the time, but it certainly became, in my opinion, the office of the deacon. And here's why. Notice verse number 2. He says, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve. And he says in verse number 3, "whom we may appoint over this business." So someone who is placed in that need and meet the need, but to serve as well. And that certainly fits the position or place of deacon in God's word. So that's what we're looking at here. As we talk about God's leadership, here's the blank, in the church. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? We'll pray and we'll ask God to help us. Well, Lord, we just thank you that you love us, Lord, and it sounds like there's many people that we know of who are hurting tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that you would really be with them, show them your grace and your comfort, and if need be, show them that they can be saved, they can have everlasting life, but they need to know Jesus too. So we ask, God, for these dear folks at this time. But also, as we look in the Bible, Lord, would you help us? Help us to apply what you have in the word of God for us tonight. We ask you'd get the glory, Lord. That's who deserves the glory, is you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's leadership in the church. So we're talking first of all about pastoral work. Pastoral work. This is the work of a bishop. Bishop means oversee. That is what it means. The elder is the mature overseer, and the two words that are used mainly, and when we talk about pastors and their responsibilities and who they are, those are the two words that are mainly used in the New Testament, elder and bishop. The word pastor is actually only used once in the New Testament. We'll look at it. But they have various meanings which describe the same office or the same work. And bishop is oversee, elder, mature overseer. There are churches today who say, well, we need a board of elders, board of deacons, and board of this and board of that, and they get bored. But I don't see that in Scripture. Elder is the same position, the same responsibility as what we would call today the pastor and the work of the pastor. So that's what we see, and that's what we're sharing tonight. Each local church is to have at least one man appointed to oversee the flock. Let's take a look at some of these passages here. And I do have a couple places where I can have some help. Philippians 1 and verse 1, who would read Philippians 1:1? So Isaac will read that, okay. Then Titus chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. How about Brother Bob? Read that. And then right up here, James 5, verse 14. All right, Leland? James chapter 5. Yeah, you need your Bible. And James chapter 5, I'll remind you when we get there. Have a couple others. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4, Brother Daryl has got that one. Thank you. Then 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. 4 and 5. How about Trenton back there? And if we get any farther, we'll ask for some other help here. God's leadership, pastoral work, work of a bishop, overseer. Elder means mature overseer. Each local church is to have at least one man appointed to oversee the flock. And by the way, it is a man. It is always that position in the church, or that person, I should say, in the church is always referred to as him, man, male, etc. It is a man. It is not a woman ever mentioned in Scripture that is a bishop or an elder or pastor, etc. Let's hear about how this comes about. Acts chapter 14. Let's go there. Acts chapter 14 and take a look at verse 19. And I'll read for us to verse 23. Yeah, I don't know how far we're going to get here. But Acts 14, let's start there. Verse number 19, and reading down to verse number 23. Okay, so here we start. We're finishing the story about the Apostle Paul. He shared the gospel and so forth, and people saw them do great miracles in this area where they were at, and they wanted to worship them. How many remember they wanted to worship them as gods, Greek gods? And they said, no, don't worship us. And what happened next? They said, okay, what do they try to do? They tried to kill him. Well, if you're not going to be a god, guess what? You're not getting out of here alive. And they stoned Paul. And that's where we pick up the story in verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. What did he do, by the way, after God raised him up? He went right back into town. Hey, guys, I just want you to know, I'm still here. I'm still here. I don't know if that's what he did, but the Bible, interestingly enough, said he went back to town. Picking it back up here, verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Ordained means to appoint, to put in place of, and etc. And the Bible says after that, as they led people to Christ, groups were beginning to form, they ordained or appointed elders. You are the one who needs to lead this group, etc. So it was an exciting time in the New Testament days. Let's read about Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is where we see the word pastors, as well as others. Ephesians 4, verse 11, verse 12. Would you read those with me? We'll read that out loud together. Verse 11 and 12, Ephesians chapter 4. And again, another gift that God wants to use in the church, verse 11 and 12, and let's read those together. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right. Now, does God still have apostles on the earth today? There are people who claim to be apostles. You can find them on the internet, and you can see their YouTube channel, etc., apostle whoever. Apostle in the Bible is one who actually saw Jesus and was called by Jesus personally. Remember the apostle Paul, though he was, as he says, I was called out of due time, meaning he wasn't there with the others, but he did have a personal interaction with Jesus on the road there and was called of him to be an apostle. Jesus doesn't do that anymore. He has not been to earth to do that anymore. So everyone who says they're an apostle today, what would we call them according to the Bible? A false prophet. A false prophet. If they're claiming to be apostles, they are not the scripture does. How about prophets themselves? Prophets themselves. These would be guys who God would use to foretell things that he had planned for the earth, maybe preparing Christians for it as well. Prophets are in the Old Testament and in the New, in the book of Acts. Are those guys still around? Is that ministry still around today? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Nobody knew we'd be where we're at with Iran today, I don't think. But here we are. Here we are. And other issues that are country and maybe personally are dealing with. No, that is not a ministry of today. Let's see, what's the next one there? Evangelists. Evangelists are gospel preaching. They share the gospel as well as call God's people to him. Are there evangelists used today? Now, why do you think God still uses evangelists? Because souls still need to be saved. And churches still need to be encouraged, renewed, revived, and God uses them. So I believe that still is in effect today. And then pastors. Pastor means shepherd. That's the word. Shepherd. Are shepherds needed in church today? Yeah, absolutely. We need someone that God can use. And it'd be nice if they were perfect, but they're not. I've met a few of them, and none of them are perfect. I've met a few of them, and all of them would like to grow and be more like the Savior, the ones I know anyway. But God wants to use them. How about teachers? Teachers sharing, increasing our knowledge about God and how to share him with others. Are there teachers today? Yes, there are, and there's a need for that. So that's where we're at as we consider the leadership in the church, and the pastor is one God uses in that role. Philippians 1, verse 1 talks about the congregation working together.
Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons.
Okay, so here you see the whole congregation, all the saints, that's all of us, with the bishops and the deacons, and those men God's using in that particular ministry. Titus 1, verse 5 and 6.
For this cause let thy be in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly.
Okay, again, talking about there's Titus. Paul's telling Titus those congregations that you know of that need help, that need an overseer, appoint one. He says, put a bishop elder. He talks about elder in that group. James 5 and verse 14. Lillian's going to read that nice and loud, so everybody in the back can hear. Okay. Okay, thank you. Then again, recognizing elders as part of God's work in that case, in healing and helping. Now, I'm here to tell you, I can bring some oil to you, but don't count on that as medicine. But what I can do for you and other elders, pastors, etc., is we can pray. We can pray alongside you, with you. Does that mean our prayers get answered more than yours? I haven't seen any evidence of that, but the more prayers there are, the more answers to prayer that we'll see. God wants to use these people, and he uses them in every church. Each local church needs to have at least one man appointed to oversee. Does every local body of believers have an overseer? Well, I'll tell you this, everybody has a leader. Whether it is one that is appointed to be the pastor or not. I've read this before and I think it's true, every room has a leader. Every room has a leader. God's appointed leader in the church is to be the pastor and oversee what's going on and help the body of Christ. As it says in Ephesians, I've got it right here. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Mature overseer, bishop, elder, pastor. Other examples of their ministry, preacher, and to call, to visit, to shepherd, etc., the flock. Each pastor, he leads similarly. Yeah, this might be where we need to stop. He leads similarly to the Christian father in the home. The Christian father in the home, which means he stands before to direct service to God. Now, before we get too smarty pants on this, I am not saying like Catholicism. Who do they call as the leader in their church? They call him father. There's no example of that in the scriptures, that they should be called father. But the function is similar in these things that we read a couple weeks ago. And by the way, did you know that Pope means father? That's what it means. But we don't have a Pope. We don't have a universal church. We've got a local church. Amen. We don't answer to another church. We answer to the Lord Jesus. And God wants to keep that in mind for us. But similarly, he leads as the father in the home, who stands before to direct service and service to God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5.
One that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Okay, so he's supposed to be an example, but he's also saying, the scriptures is also saying he needs to know how to be a godly Christian father. And then we hear in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 the same idea.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath,
but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Okay, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is part of the responsibility. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. I think we're going to finish here. We'll go ahead and do that. 1 Peter 5. And verses 1 through 4 is what we want to look at. So here's the Apostle Peter, his instruction to the pastor, and he calls them elders here. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." To verse 4, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you." This is how we know he's referring to somebody specific in the church. "Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let me give you the blanks here. This person, the pastoral work, leads the church to do right that is approved by Jesus. We are the body of what? We are the body of Christ. Yeah. So he is the one who we are working towards to approve and follow. This is done exercising love and humility. Love and humility being an example. An example. The Bible uses the word ensamples here. Being an example. What is he supposed to be an example of, by the way? Here Peter says, we're looking forward to the chief shepherd. What are the pastors supposed to be the example of? What does the chief shepherd look over? Sheep. He says, you guys are supposed to be the best example of sheep before God. We've got another passage. We won't go there. It's pretty lengthy. You can look at it later. But simply talking about the example that the church needs. There are some examples in the New Testament of those who chose to do differently. And we might look at them next time. But in the church, God's leadership includes pastoral work. Let's go ahead and ask God's help. Hey, I want to tell you folks, I appreciate your prayers. I need your prayers. And that's not in all sincerity. I need them. Because I want to stand on Sunday, not just as the leader, but as one who gets something from God too. That's what we all need. When we gather to church, hey, praise the Lord, we can enjoy things together. But the main purpose we should come together for is to get something from God so that we can honor Jesus. So I'm praying for you. Pray for me. And I appreciate that. Let's go pray for each other as we go break in our...